I invite you to open your bulletin. I hope you've got one of the bulletins. And I usually don't commend reading my column during the sermon. But this morning I would point you to my column because it's a lot of what I'm going to say this morning is in that column. It's no surprise to any of us that people get sick, that people wear out. When I preached in Robert Lee, Texas, I had a neighbor named Earl, and I've told a number of you this before, but I was in my 20s, and Earl was in his 70s, and Earl said, "Greg, once you get 50, it's just patch, patch, patch." And I didn't understand what he meant, but I do now. We live in a world where people get sick and they wear out, where natural disasters occur, where there's violence, there's wars, and people die. The Bible says that people die because of human rebellion against God. This world that was created that was good, Genesis 1 says. In Genesis 3, it says that human beings who were meant to live in the presence of God in that garden are expelled. They go into a kind of exile from that garden. And at the end of Genesis 3, it says they no longer have access to the tree of life. And immediately after you read that in chapter 3, in chapter 4, there's the first death. It's fratricide. It's murder. One brother kills another. And then when you get to chapter 5 of Genesis, I think it's not just coincidence that there's this genealogy. And it will say this person lived a certain number of years and he died. And this person lived a certain number of years and he died. And it just goes on and on and on. And he died. And he died. We live in a world where there's death. And the coming of Jesus has reversed that tide of death. Yesterday marked the beginning of the Passover feast for those who practice Judaism today, now. We read a moment ago from Exodus 12, the institution of the Passover feast. And I hope in that reading you notice the phrase Passover. That's why it's called the Passover feast. It is a feast of rescue of people from slavery, Israel from slavery. And the reason I wanted us to read that passage is that we know from Scripture that it was during the Passover season that Jesus was arrested and falsely convicted and crucified and buried and was raised. We know it was almost 2,000 years ago, this time of the year, that Jesus died and was raised. What is it about the resurrection of Jesus that is primary, that is vital to Christian belief? Why is it that the resurrection of Jesus is so important? I want to suggest to you this morning it is so important because Jesus came to live as a human being, and that in his death and in his resurrection, that resurrection signals a reversal of what has gone so terribly wrong in our world. Jesus has begun that reversal. My guess is many of you, maybe even most of you, have seen the ocean. And one of the things you find if you go visit the beach and the ocean if you're there very long, you'll notice either the tide, the waves, keep getting farther in or they keep getting further out. The tide rolls in and the tide rolls out. And there's a point at which, when the tide rolls in, there's a point at which that changes. The tide, the way you put it is, the tide turns. And it starts going out again. If you think about the waves of death that have occurred ever since the garden, Jesus, in the coming of Jesus, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, that tide of death has turned. Is death still with us? You know it is, don't you? We still have funerals, don't we? And people we love still get sick and die, or there's accidents and they die. Things happen. But Jesus has turned the tide, and that tide of death is now going out rather than coming in because of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, let me point out something about resurrection and the resurrection of Jesus when we speak of His resurrection. I prefer to speak of times in the Bible when you read of somebody that has died and Jesus raises them from the dead. That's not resurrection in sense of what we're talking about when it comes to Jesus. Because those people that Jesus raised from the dead are still mortal. They still can die, and they're going to die again. When you read about the story of Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, who has sisters Mary and Martha, and when Lazarus dies, Jesus raises him from the tomb, but he's going to die again. There's going to be a second funeral for Lazarus at some point. What's distinctive about the resurrection of Jesus is that He is raised no longer to die. He is raised immortal. His body is immortal. It will not die again. James 2, verse 26, reminds us what death is. What is death? It is the separation of the spirit from the body. In James 2, verse 26, James says, the body without the spirit is death, and likewise he says, faith without works is dead. He uses what everybody knows about death to illustrate a theological teaching that faith and works must go hand in hand. But when we say that the body is dead when there is no spirit in it, that doesn't mean that that body will never have the spirit again within it. What is resurrection as we speak of it in regard to Jesus? It is the reuniting of one's spirit to a body that has been raised to live immortal, no longer to die. That's what the Scripture says about Jesus, and the Scripture says that His resurrection is a signal to us of what our resurrection will be like. What the Bible says is that when a person dies, their spirit goes to be with the Lord, and the body remains and is corruptible. It's mortal. You may remember when Jesus is on the cross, He says to one of the thieves, "This day you will be with me." Where is Jesus going to go when He dies on the cross? His body is still on the cross, but He gives up His spirit, and His spirit goes to be in what is called paradise. Paradise is not the ultimate destination. It is a place of waiting. It is a place of rest. It is a place of peace in the presence of the Lord. But it is not our forever destination. The resurrection is, as it was with Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus that when He died on the cross went to be in paradise is reunited with that body that was crucified. But that body is raised to be not mortal any longer, but immortal. That's what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53 says. That the body that is mortal will be raised immortal. And I would point your attention to 2 Timothy 1, verse 10. Where Paul says to Timothy that Jesus has brought life and immortality to light. You ever read that verse? And Paul says that Jesus bringing life and immortality to light is gospel. There is a sense in which the gospel is still yet to be heard if a person does not understand that part of what Jesus has done, not the whole picture, but part of what Jesus has done, one aspect of the work of Jesus is He has brought to light life and immortality. That is good news. That is gospel. Part of the good news of Jesus is death does not have the final say. One of the things I've begun to say at funerals is death has been talking to us. Death still speaks, doesn't it? But the good news is, the gospel is, that death won't have the final say. I like that. The older I get, the more I like that. That's good news, isn't it? That's gospel. When you get sick and you wonder if you're going to make it, you need some gospel, don't you? That Jesus has brought life and immortality to light. And that'll help you, won't it? That'll keep you going, won't it? And when we cry and when we say goodbye to those we love, we need some good news, don't we? And the resurrection of Jesus is good news. It's a signal to us. It's a reminder to us. Death is still around, and death tries to throw its weight around, but death is not going to win. It did not win over Jesus, and it will not win over us and those we love. Jesus has brought life and immortality to light. Isn't that good? You need to write that down somewhere, don't you? Because death wants you to forget it. And you need to remember it. Jesus is a kind of pioneer. I like what the writer N.T. Wright has said. Jesus entered into death and He came out on the other side. That's what He's done, isn't it? Why is it important for there to be pioneers? Because something that may look fearful and undoable to us, we find out if there's a pioneer, somebody can do this. And that means I can. In the settling of our country, in the history of our country, there were pioneers, weren't there? The pioneers are the ones who bravely went first. And why was it important to have pioneers? Because it said to those who came along behind them, you can do this. When I get sick for the last time, I need to know there was a pioneer who entered into death and he came out on the other side. I need to know that. How about you? Romans 8, verse 11 says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if that Spirit is in you, then your body will be raised as well. There is resurrection. And if Jesus has not been raised, well, you're still in your sins. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 and 17 says. But you see, Jesus has been raised. And in Christ, we are no longer in our sins. And the pioneer, Jesus, has shown us it can be done. That's good news, isn't it? You see, what God has done in Jesus Christ is, in the same way that in the creation, in the beginning, things went badly, things have gone right in Jesus Christ. And that's why you have sometimes this language in the New Testament in which it says, well, there's a new creation. There's this new creation. Something new is happening. In the same way that God created our world, God is at work again in even a more powerful way to create anew. I would point you to the book of Romans chapter 6. I want to read something from Romans chapter 6. You see, in our baptism, when we are baptized into Christ, we become a part of God's rescue story. We are ourselves rescued, but we become a part of His rescue mission as well. Something new starts when we are baptized. We are not only, solely baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Do you understand that? Forgiveness of our sins is part of our baptism, but that's not the goal, the ultimate goal of our baptism. That is a means toward the ultimate goal. Jesus did not only come to die on the cross to pay for sins. He came to bring new life. Now, Paul talks a lot about baptism in Romans 6. But I want you to notice something he says in chapter 6, verse 4, about why we were baptized. We were baptized, therefore, with Him. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death. What is baptism about? It's not simply about forgiveness of sins. That's there. But baptism is about being buried into the death of Jesus. It's about rehearsing the story of Jesus, isn't it? Just as Jesus died and was buried and was raised, what happens when I am baptized? When I was baptized, when I was in seventh grade, Seagraves, Texas, Virgil Cullum stood in for Jesus when I was baptized. He baptized me. What was going on there? I was buried in baptism in the likeness of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. So that when I was raised up out of that water, in the same way that when Jesus was raised from the grave, He had a new kind of existence. Isn't that what we hear in Scripture? His Spirit is reunited with His resurrected body, and it's a body that is immortal, so He has a new kind of existence. He cannot be killed again. He has a new kind of existence. That's the point Paul makes. Our baptism, my baptism and your baptism, rehearses the story of Jesus, the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection. I die to myself. I am buried in that watery grave that is baptism. And as Paul says in Romans 6, verse 4, that I might rise up and walk in newness of life. Just like Jesus had new life, a new kind of life, I have a new kind of life when I am baptized. And so I become a part of God's rescue project, of setting this world right where so much has gone wrong. Is there still a lot that's wrong in our world? Sure there is. But when we are baptized, we become a part of the solution and no longer are we a part of the problem. We walk in newness of life. Now, it's an ongoing project, isn't it? Is there still some work to be done on you? It's an ongoing project. But it is a project. And there's some work being done. And the time will come when that's going to be done. Jesus will come again. And He's going to finish out this project. And things are going to be right in ways when Jesus comes again that they have not been right since the garden. And you know what? We'll live in the presence of God. And isn't that a wonderful notion? See, that's what we were created for, was to live in the presence of God. And sin and rebellion have made that difficult. But Christ has turned the tide through His resurrection to make that right.